soon.
Faxamea. Can anybody guess what day it is? Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, 2021. But it's a very exciting one. The name of this message is called The Countdown Has Begun. The Countdown Has Begun. Because today we start, it's the beginning of the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. Talked about the Shemitah a lot. We'll talk about it more this year. It's the sixth year and also in the seventh year. But we know, what do I mean when I say the Shemitah cycle? We know that Yahweh works in cycles of seven. Seven is his number of completeness. He created the world in 6 days. The seventh day is the Sabbath. And we have 6 years of planting and sowing and growing. And then the seventh year is a Shemitah, where we don't plant and we only eat the food that's coming off the trees, but we don't harvest. And of course, we wouldn't eat or buy food in markets or supermarkets that are, they wouldn't be kosher, you could say, in that year, because they're being grown, they're being planted in the Shemitah. So the Shemitah is a seven-year cycle. And like the holy days, the Shemitah is a clock in the sky, like we said that, to tell us how close we are to the end of Satan's rule, the Jubilee year, and the kingdom of Yahweh. Because what happens? We have seven times seven, seven Shemitahs, so 7 years times seven is 49 years, and then the 50th year is the Jubilee. So let's just go over a little bit here on the Shemitah. Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25, starting in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I am giving to you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to Yahweh." So the cycles of seven didn't start until they came into the promised land. That was the beginning part of it. And sometimes people will say the Shemitah is only to be done in the land of Israel, because it's saying when you go into the land. But if you believe that, if you read Leviticus 23, which we'll go into later, that would mean every holy day was only to be kept in the land, because it says the same thing in there. We know that's not true. We know Passover must be kept. We know Yom Kippur must be kept. So land is land. Dirt is dirt. And it has nutrients in it, and it has to be rested every seventh year to be able to renew those nutrients. And this is what Yahweh says, the land shall keep a Sabbath, meaningly there'll be nothing that will be done. You shall sow your field 6 years, you will prune your vineyard 6 years, and you shall gather its produce. And then the seventh year will be a Sabbath of rest to the land, a Sabbath to Yahweh, which we know is one of the grievous sins of Israel, getting put out of the land, that they didn't keep those Sabbath years. You shall not sow your field, and you shall not prune your vineyard. You shall not reap that which grows of itself of your harvest. Excuse me. And you shall not gather the grapes of your unkept vine. It shall be a year of rest to the land. Of course, you could pick off of it and eat it, but you can't harvest it. And the Sabbath of the land shall be to you for food, to you and to your male slave and to your female slave, to your hired one, to your tenant, those living among you, and to your livestock and to the animal in your land, all its produce shall be food to you. So, very clear. The Shemitah, you plant, you grow, you prune for 6 years. And the seventh year is a Shemitah or a Sabbath year of rest. There's no planting, there's no pruning, there's no harvesting. You simply eat what grows of itself. And considering everything that's happening in the world today and the setting up for the mark of the beast system that is already put in place, as we're starting to see with all these vaccine passports and all these things, I believe this 6 year is vital. I believe it's vital to fully prepare in faith. We've already been preparing for several years, even the year before COVID started, with my 7-point plan that I was bringing to the congregations, because we were preparing not only for the Shemitah, but exactly for what we're seeing today that Yahweh's been showing us. So we've been preparing. We've been trusting in the word of Yahweh. We have about now 25 or so communities. We're going up to 30 or more by early next year. There's new ones that are just getting started now. A couple just this week that I heard of. That's exciting. So, and we're trusting that Yahweh is going to provide. So if you drop down to verse 20 now, the same chapter 25, it's really interesting. And this is why I say the countdown has begun, because what the Shemitah cycle, the 6 year, is a very, very important year. And when we go to verse 20, look at what he says. He says, and when you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, right? You know, if people are hearing this for the first time, you can't plant. You can't, you know, go to the supermarket and buy food that's been planted in the Shemitah year. What are we going to eat? So when they say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? For lo, we may not sow or gather our increase. Then listen to what Yahweh says. Then I have commanded my blessing on you in the sixth year. This year, starting today, I commanded my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it shall produce the increase for 3 years. And you shall sow the eighth year, and you shall eat the old crop until the ninth year, until the coming in of the crop. You shall eat of the old. So, wow, look what Yahweh says, right? If we believe in faith and we prepare, then Yahweh will actually bless the sixth year to provide for the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth. 3 years that Yahweh will provide. And interesting enough, three being the number of resurrection, right? So the last Shemitah cycle, and it's hard to imagine, you know, we're almost 7 years from there. But in the last Shemitah cycle, Elohim revealed the importance of the Shemitah cycles of seven, the true Shemitah cycle that's provable by history. But the interesting part was, we only learned about it, I think it was about a week before the Shemitah started. You know, so, I mean, we really didn't have a sixth year the last time to prepare. We had maybe a sixth day. We had a week or a couple of weeks, you know, as it was coming in there. Because you could still, the day that the Shemitah starts, there's still food that wasn't planted after that. So we had very little time to prepare, though. We really didn't have a sixth year the last time. And you want to know something? Yet to this day, we still have some Shemitah food from last Shemitah. Believe it or not, without even preparing. And it was amazing. Sometimes we would go to the supermarket. You know the supermarket, they have all the dates on the food and they can't sell it past dates. And we actually were able to get canned foods that were from the before the Shemitah, before that, you know, that was still there. But it was amazing. There were so many miracles that Yahweh did. And he did that on purpose. The reason why I believe, I think a lot of the brethren do, why Yahweh didn't reveal about the Shemitah until the beginning of it is because he didn't want us to rely on ourselves. He didn't want us last time to have a sixth year because we didn't need it. He wanted us to see if you trust in him, he'll provide. And he did. I mean, it was amazing. You know, we were away on a trip and came back and we opened our refrigerator and there were potatoes in the refrigerator that were all growing up themselves. They were fine. They were all on vines. I've never seen that in my life. Outside, things that were growing that we never planted, cherry tomatoes, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them, and all kinds of things. And Yahweh provided, he did miracles, and I heard this from brethren all over the world, the same kind of stories. So, in one way, last time, it was really wonderful not to have a sixth year, because that way, Yahweh, like a loving father like he is, he had to provide for us. But this time, with the time we're going into, we need the sixth year. And now, it'll take just as much faith for us to invest and prepare in this 6 year as it did last time, not even knowing that we had to prepare in the 6 year. Because the times that are coming, if we really believe that we're at the point in prophecy where we see we're at, then we really do need to prepare this time and trusting Yahweh that he will provide for the sixth and the seventh and the eighth, even for 3 years or even more. Like I said, we don't want to limit him. So Yahweh blessed us with both physical and spiritual food, last Shemitah. Some of the things he taught us were just amazing. And how many insights to start, and the insight to start our communities worldwide, and the blueprint for his very kingdom, because that's what those communities are about. It was the beginning of the separating from the world into community living. And like I said, we started with one or two, and now we're up to 25 and going on 30, maybe more. We'll see what happens. But what happened was also, and particularly this happened in Babylon, that some in Babylon, they fought this. They refused to keep the Shemitah in faith, and Yahweh removed them from the congregation. And I remember saying at the Feast of Sukkot, and I didn't have this in my notes or nothing, and it just came out of my mouth, that, well, you know, that people don't take this serious. You may not be here next year. Some were even elders, and Yahweh just removed them because, remember, the Shemitah is a time of building up. It's a time of tearing down. And that's what nations and even individuals. And it's according to your faith and your trust in Him. So never has there been a more important Shemitah than the one that's coming next year. And never has there been a more important sixth year than the one that we're preparing right now to be granted this triple blessing. And you know, it's really interesting because when He says He'll give the blessing and the food for 3 years, remember, the beast power rules for just a little over 3 years. And when the mark of the beast comes, you can't buy or sell for about 3 years, a little over that, right? So the fact that Yahweh says in the sixth year He'll bless for 3 years, wow, is this really setting up for what we're seeing is coming? It's an interesting thing to look at. So what I want to just go over now, I've done it before, but I want to go over it again. Maybe people only hearing about the Shemitah for the first time, some that will be listening to this. I just want to go over a few important events of Shemitahs for the last 100 years to show you that many, many things worldwide happen in Shemitah years. I'm not going to go through everything like I did in other sermons. I do have sermons on this that you can go into and you could see. But I just want to go into a few of the highlights and some of the most important things. Like I said, the Shemitah is a time of nation building. It's a time of tearing down. And it's a time of dependent on obedience or disobedience. Okay? So, one of the big things in the last 100 years was 1917, 1918. Okay? That was a major, it was a Shemitah year, right? Because it goes from Yom Teruah to Yom Teruah. So in the Roman calendar, it would go for 2 years. The Industrial Revolution started in the late 1800s, and it set the stage for the USA to become the world power and become Babylon, actually. In April 1917, the USA enters World War I and officially becomes world superpower militarily as well as financially. So this was the building up of Babylon going back there. World War I then ended in 1918, right? We see these things. The signing of the Balfour Declaration to allow the modern state of Israel to be made, right, happens in a Shemitah year. The end of the Ottoman Empire. Wow, that's 400 years, right? That connects from the Roman Empire to today. You know, we see modern Turkey trying to resurrect that, who I believe is going to be one of the heads of the beast power, you know. Maybe the king of the north over there. So we see this, that it ended at that time, the Ottoman Empire. And that created the way for Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, all to be created. Right? The League of Nations starts with Woodrow Wilson's 14-point speech, January 1918. And German Second Reich, you know, with the Austrian, Hungarian monarchs and the Russian czars, all ended at this time. Soviet Union begins, right? And we see today. Stock market crash of 1917 wiped out 40%, right? Because we see that the Shemitah is also a time of financial gain and financial loss. You know, building up nations, taking down nations. And also the end of the British Empire, the first time that Great Britain becomes a debtor nation. So this all was in 1917 and 1918. Then 1938, 1939, the beginning of World War II, right? The stock market crashed again after the Shemitah began, bringing in a great recession. And then 1945, 1946, the World War II ends in a Shemitah year. And the beginning of the last generation actually starts, right? The United Nations is created, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank. And America emerges as end-time Babylon, the world leader militarily, economically, and the dollar becomes world currency reserve. Plans to build the World Trade Center start in that year. And I've went over this in other sermons on this. Towers are a biblical sign of security and strength. In ancient days, it was actually churches they would build, and temples before churches would be the highest buildings. But in modern times, from the 1800s, as these countries like Great Britain and America became world powers, they built great towers. They built the Empire State Building, and then, of course, the World Trade Center. Another thing that was interesting in 1952-53, as we see coming to this next Shemitah, is Queen Elizabeth takes the throne. You know, George, her father, King George VI, died. Also, King Hussein from Jordan took over at that time. The Korean War starts. But I think it's important with Queen Elizabeth, because the British monarchy is definitely tied into world government, end time events. And coming up next year, in the Shemitah year, will be Queen Elizabeth's 70th year of rule. And I've talked about the number 70. It's a really important number because it's an end number. You know, it's an end number that we see. Babylon will have 70 years to rule the nations. Israel will be in captivity 70 years. So it's an end point number. And next year will be Queen Elizabeth's 70th year. We see in 5960, I won't go into it, but all these different countries that got their start, they got their independence. And then 66-67, the Six-Day War in Israel, right? The beginning of the building of the World Trade Center, 73-74, Yom Kippur War, the finishing of the World Trade Center. And also, that's when abortion becomes legal, and that's when Babylon's power is topped. Because of the abortion that Yahweh, it's the height of their strength, and they're only going to go down from there. So we see other things happening. Oslo, the Oslo Accords, 94-95, happened in the Shemitah year. And then in modern times, this is what's really more important as we're in modern times, as we see the importance of these Shemitahs. 2001-2002, right? 9/11 happens in a Shemitah year. 2008-2009 was the worst one-day stock market crash in the history of the stock market. And it dropped 777.7 points. You know, if Yahweh isn't given a sign there, right? And when does it happen? It happens on Elul 29, the very day that Yahweh says, unless you release the debts for the Shemitah, that you're going to be cursed. That very day, they have the worst stock market crash in the history of the stock market, and it's 777 points. So we see it's the 7th anniversary. 7% of the market was wiped out on the 7th anniversary of the towers falling. And 5 of the greatest stock market drops happened in the Shemitah, the last 2 of them on Elul 29. So the day that the debt's supposed to be released. So there's no doubt of Yahweh being in this. Then we came to 2015 and 16. And if you remember, the way everything was looking, I really thought in the last Shemitah that there was going to be an economic collapse. I really thought that's the way everything looked, right? And it really should have been. If you looked at everything that was happening from 2008-2009, you looked at the bank collapse, all these things that's happening, and yet what happens? The absolute opposite happens. President Trump becomes president. He wasn't supposed to. Very few things that you see in world events are not planned. What I should say, in the last 70 years since the beginning of the end time and the one world government, the United Nations and all this, almost everything big that happens in the world is part of a global plan. President Trump becoming president was not part of that global plan, but it was part of Yahweh's plan. He was a modern Nebuchadnezzar, right? And as he's elected, what happens? Immediately, the economy turns around. And all of a sudden, Babylon starts to be once again to prosper and have all these things that's happening. And, it becomes financially one of the best times in U.S. history. So we talked about this before. I won't get into it today. Pharaoh's dream, 7 good years and 7 bad years. And I do believe that actually Yahweh inserted a 7 in there. You know, as we saw, everything was going down, down, down. And Yahweh inserted a 7 for the blessing of his people. Because you just think, if what's happening today happened in the last Shemitah, We weren't prepared. We didn't have all these communities. We weren't doing the things. We didn't even prepare for the Shemitah. We didn't even know. So where would we be today if all this happened in the last Shemitah? So Yahweh, in his infinite mercy, inserts there the 7 good years that we've seen. But those 7 good years now are coming to an end. And we're heading into Joseph's dream, the 7 bad years. And they are going to be bad years. They're going to be years of world war. There's going to be years of famine. We already see the pestilence and the disease and the plagues that are already started. So this is all the things that are happening. So, and now 222 to 223 next year, what will the Shemitah bring? Could it be the start of the 7 bad years of Joseph's dream? It could be. The worst time people have ever seen. We don't know. We really don't know, but it doesn't look good. It really doesn't look good, and especially now with all of these things, with building the infrastructure in the system to bring the mark of the beast where nobody could buy or trade unless you get that injection. I don't believe now, you know, they don't call it the New World Order anymore. They call it the Great Reset. But they're really there. You know, if you listen to the man who heads the World Economic Forum, this Klaus Schwab, who's like the modern day Hitler, this guy is evil. And he openly has been saying it the last couple of years, that they will be implanting chips in people's hands and people's brains that will alter the way they think, that they'll be controlled, you know, by these world powers. So this next Shemitah, like I said, I think it's going to be the most important Shemitah that we've seen for a long, long time as we're heading into the end here. And this year is also very, very important. And like I said, beside the land rest, the Shemitah acts as prophecy markers, as we said, to Yahweh's people who are faithful and keeping it. So, wow. You know, a lot of things. And we'll be updating on this as we go along here. But the important thing is now the countdown has begun. Now the countdown has begun, right? The Shemitah is a year of building of nations. It's a year of tearing down of nations. Prospering for blessing, right, of tithing. I've said this to Yahweh's people for the last 30 years almost, you know, that you can't steal from Yahweh and expect to be blessed. And particularly in a Shemitah year, you know, when it's financial blessing as well as, you know, physical blessing of food and all those things, you have to be able to tithing. You have to be tithing. Financial ruin for disobeying. And this goes, like I said, for individuals as well as nations. And I just want to talk about here now for a couple of minutes. Because I think what happens is, you know, Scripture says, my people perish for lack of vision. And in the world, one of the things I think that has shocked me more than anything in the last, particularly last year, right before COVID started, I was thinking to myself, wow, this world is such a facade. How on earth can you ever preach to people about the kingdom of Yahweh, about true repentance, when they're living in this facade? And then COVID came and just ripped the facade off the world. I mean, it just ripped it apart. Lockdown of nations, all these things, and the facade goes. But here it is, you know, a year and a half down the line, and as all these things are coming about, you know, with these vaccine passports, about they already have the technology. You could go and look online. It's not just patented, you know, the 060606 that Bill Gates has to implant people with biochips with these nanoparticles that will not only control for the vaccine, but will also control all the buying and selling and all that. But they already have it made. You know, they already made it. You already see it. Moderna and these companies that have already produced this thing. And, you know, it needs luciferous, you know, luciferous, a race of Lucifer in order for it to work. And it has snake-like spikes that, you know, go. And it's not injected with a needle. It's these little spikes that go into the hand, and then it permanently stays there. And if you've never seen it, just go online and look it up, you know, and they have videos on it from the companies showing you how it was produced. So this is not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy, you know, it's a conspiracy, but it's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a theory. They're doing it, and it's out in the open that's being done. So it amazes me that the world doesn't see it, but Yahweh says that. They blind themselves to it. But for Yahweh's people, we're not blind. And he has shown us these things. And this is why, you know, if you look in from the last Shemitah, the different things that have happened, you know, the blood moons that we've seen And even the great solar eclipse that happened in Babylon, you know, a couple of years ago, and there's another one that's coming now, and they cross each other, you know, when you watch, like a big X that's there. But all these things were not just for games. They were there for us to show us that these things are really happening. And, you know, in 2019, 2 years ago, after Pesach, you know, when Yahweh told me not to host the feast in Jerusalem anymore for international brethren because of the sin there, the homosexuality, and particularly because they started killing a lamb there at the false temple mount, it was shocking to me. And, you know, for several years, brethren coming to the feast there were asking me, how long can you keep the feast here when there's so much sin going on? And I said, well, it's not my feast, and it's not me to make that decision. You know, as long as Yahweh has it, that's as long as it will be. So when Yahweh showed that to me, it was shocking. And I said, before I can make a decision like this that's this big, that's going to affect all the brethren around the world, you know, I didn't think it was wrong to put a fleece out like Gideon. It wasn't a lack of faith, because I would do anything Yahweh showed me. It was I wanted to make sure that I was hearing the message correctly. And I actually put out 5 fleeces because I didn't want to make a mistake when it came to this. And the interesting part about it was 2 of the fleeces were actually completely opposite. So it would have been almost impossible for both of them to come back positive, and yet they did. Which shows Yahweh, nothing is impossible with Yahweh. But it really showed me that there was no doubt in my mind that this was Yahweh's will. So here it was, you know, everything was still fine then, but Yahweh was testing me. Are you going to follow me when I tell you something, like Abraham, get up and walk? Are you going to get up and walk, or are you going to have to reason it out? And I didn't reason it out. Once I knew for sure that was Yahweh's will, that was it. That was it. And we kept the feast there 19 years, you know, a whole 19-year time cycle. The moon cycle goes every 19 years. It resets itself. And, you know, at that time, there were some that questioned, but I wasn't questioning because I knew for sure what Yahweh was doing. But, you know, it's very interesting that, you know, like I said, the big thing was the killing the lamb at Passover time. And in Mark 13, this was the scripture that Yahweh showed me when I was praying about this. And in Mark 13, verse 14 says, when you see that which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the sign of unclean desolation, which that was, that was standing where it should not be, it was in the wrong, they're not doing it at the city of David where the real temple is, they're doing it at the Temple Mount, then let those in Judea flee into the mountains. And that was it that, you know, it was like, okay, it's pretty clear we need to go. And that's when we started keeping the feast in 219, Sukkot, in Jordan, in the mountains and in the desert, you know, in both places. But what's interesting about it is, and I'm not saying that that was the total fulfillment of Matthew 24 or Mark 13, but it was certainly the scripture that Yahweh showed me, and certainly is a unclean desolation. You know, we'll see what happens if there's with the full fulfillment of this, but without a doubt, it was clear. So that was Yahweh's sign that it was time to move out. It was time to go to the wilderness, you know. And here we are. Here we are. But the amazing part about that is, from that time, you know, that I followed Yahweh in faith, if I didn't follow him in faith, we couldn't have kept the feast there anymore. It was impossible. You know, the country was closed. They were shut down, you know. Passover last year, you know, where people couldn't even leave their homes. You know, it was like the original Passover, right? The passing of the death angel. I did that message on that because it was absolutely amazing that that was the first time that that happened. Maybe since the Exodus, that worldwide everyone was locked in their house just at Passover time that it started. But Sukkot completely closed down, and even till today, you know. So I'm saying this for a reason that just like I gave the message, I'm waiting on Yahweh. But when Yahweh moves, you got to move. You know, you wait on Yahweh till Yahweh wakes his move. And I did, you know, for several years, I was wondering, it was torturing my spirit to bring brethren there that lived in third world countries. Some of them that live in remote villages, you know, that were very, very old fashioned. And then they come to Jerusalem and see men kissing and holding hands in the street and all the foul things that were going on there. But I didn't move until Yahweh moved. And that's the key to it. But once he moved, I was ready to move. And that's the point we have to see, that if I didn't follow his voice, where would we be today? You know, we wouldn't have had all these communities set up. We wouldn't have our place in the wilderness set up. And we would have missed the cloud. You know, so it's important. It's important in our lives that each of us needs to be praying. And you have to follow Yahweh's will. And it's not always easy, because now we're going in a time where it's going to be your job. Yes, you will lose your job. You're not going to be able to work, right? If you take that vaccine, you're not going to be able to work. You're not going to be able to go to a hospital. You're not going to be able to buy and sell. And it's happening right now. It's happening right now. We can't leave our house and go to a supermarket if you're not vaccinated, you know? And yes, they do have where you can take these tests every 3 days, but that's coming to an end. You know, they're already saying those PCR tests don't work. So Yahweh is very merciful that he's taking us into this little by little, but it's really the time now. You got to leave. And I said years ago, you know, that you have to go through the spiritual wilderness before you get in the physical one. And I think for some people that didn't have faith, okay, good, spiritual wilderness, do nothing. But here we are now. If you didn't go in the spiritual wilderness, boy, you're in trouble. You're really in trouble, because now the real wilderness is here. Now it's time to really leave society, because it won't make a difference anyway unless you're willing to take the mark of the beast. If you're going to do that, then you'll be fine, because you'll be able to buy and sell. You'll be able to do everything you want to do for the next 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is. And then, you know, when Yeshua's kingdom comes, you're going to be left out of it. So, like I said, we wouldn't be able to have done it if we wanted to now. So you have to stay in front of the curve. In 2017, the Revelation 12 sign happened. Remember that? And I said, it's not just a cute sign in the sky. This happens once every 7,000 years. And it's prophecy from Revelation 12, you know. The woman with the 12 stars around her head and giving birth to the child. I mean, the constellations and the planet and the birth of the constellation of Virgo coming out. I mean, all the things that, like I said, happens once every 7,000 years. But as I'm looking at that at the time, I'm thinking to myself, well, if this is true, if we're really at Revelation 12, then that means the next thing later in the chapter, that's when the bride goes to the wilderness. That was in 2017. And then 2019 comes, and what happens? Yahweh says it's time to go to the wilderness. So then I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, okay, you know, people could look at that Revelation 12 sign, even though it happens once in 7,000 years, even though man can't go up in the sky and move the stars into a certain way, there's a lot of people that can say it doesn't mean nothing. You know, oh, they don't believe it, because it didn't affect the world in any way. Whether you knew that happened in 2017 or it didn't affect your life or anybody's life, or it didn't affect the world, but it certainly was a sign to Yahweh's people. And then the wilderness, going to the wilderness, it could be like, oh, these people are crazy. They're just some cult. You know, okay, yeah, they're going to the wilderness. That's his point. You can't prove that's prophecy to me. But then I'm looking and I'm saying, well, the next thing is the mark of the beast. So now you can't fake that. You know, you can't fake it. Either they're implanting something inside of people on a worldwide level, and they're telling everyone in the world, you're not going to be able to work or buy and sell unless you have this implant. So you can't fake that. It's either happening or it's not. And that's what amazes me, that it's actually happening and people are still blinded to it. It's happening unless you're getting that implant. Now it's the vaccine. I'm not saying the vaccine is the mark of the beast, but the vaccine is bringing the system. It's bringing the system where, you know, they're going to give so many of these booster shots until the people are electronically ready in their body to take that nano tattoo in their hand. And like I said, it's not a guess. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy because they already have it. They already have it. They have the technology. They're already doing it in some places. And already, you can't buy and sell or work in many places without that, even in Babylon now. And this isn't something that's going away, this great reset that they're talking about. They're moving forward quick. So I can't tell you how long it will take. Will it take a matter of months? Will it take a year or two until it's fully implemented? That nobody on the planet will be able to buy or sell or work until you have the vaccine? And ultimately, at that point, it will be the chip? I don't know. I hope it's a little more time for our sake. But it is moving quickly, right? So Revelation 13, you can't fake it, and it's here. So it's showing us that it's not just our imagination. You know, all these things that Yahweh has been showing us since 2013, 2014, all the signs that he's been showing us, the blood moons, it's real. It is really real. And now we're heading into the last phase. But you know something? Now that it's happening, now that, like I said, the countdown has begun, now that we're in year six, a really important year of this, what's more exciting is the countdown to Yeshua's return is also starting. Right? That's the important part. Because we don't know, is there 1-7 left, which means Yeshua would be back by the next Shemitah, not next year, but by the next one. Wow, that's a short period of time if we're really in that time. You know, could there be one more after that? Possibly. I don't know. You know, I'm not predicting, right? But I'm just saying, as we're seeing things, it seems like it really could be a big possibility that there is only one last 7 left. But who knows? Possibly there could be 2. But any way you look at it, what it shows is there's not 100 years. There's not 50 years. There's not 30 years. There's only a handful of years left. And the countdown has actually started because the system for the Mark of the Beast is here. They're not going to lay that system out for the next 100 years without giving the mark. And they're moving very quickly, which means the time to Yeshua's return, the countdown has begun. Let's go to Leviticus, back to Leviticus 23. In verse 23. Because that's what this day is about. This day is about Yom Teruah, the day of acclamation, the blowing of trumpets. And it says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st of the month, today, a holy day Sabbath shall be to you, a memorial acclamation of resounding of trumpets, a holy gathering. You shall do no laborious work, and you shall bring a fire offering to Yahweh. So, the blowing of trumpets, that's why I blew the shofar. You know, sometimes it says shofar, sometimes it says trumpets. But this is the day of the blowing of trumpets. And ultimately, the last trumpet is the return of Yeshua. But there's more trumpets than that. And that's why I want to go over now, because since it's the feast of not trumpet, but the feast of trumpets, let's go to Revelation 8. And let's see what happens when these trumpets are blown. Because as we're going into, like I said, we're in 7-year cycles. Apparently, I'm sure trumpets are going to be blown on this day, that some of these things, if not all these things, will be enacted. So I'm going to start in Revelation 8. It says, and when he opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes, which shows between the 6th seal and then the trumpets, there's a little bit of time, 30 minutes, whatever that would mean prophetically, but not a lot of time. And I saw the 7 cherubs who stood before Elohim, and 7 trumpets were given to them. Here we are, the Feast of Trumpets. And another cherub came and stood on the altar, having a golden censer. And many types of incense were given to him, that he should give them with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the hand of the cherub before Elohim. And the cherub took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it onto the earth. And sounds and thunders and lightnings and earthquakes occurred. So we went over this many times with the prayers of the saints being the sweet incense to Yahweh. But wow, what this shows you now, if we're at the point of these trumpets getting ready to happen soon, then our prayer life really also has to intensify. And the 7 cherubs, having the 7 trumpets, prepared themselves that they might trumpet. And the first cherub trumpeted, and hail and fire mixed with blood occurred, and it was cast onto the earth. And a third part of the trees were burned down, and all the green grass was burned. And the second cherub trumpeted, and as a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. It's really interesting that we've been seeing the last few years fires, forest fires. We've seen them in the rainforest down in Brazil. You've seen them in California and all the West in USA. We've seen them in Australia. All over the world, we've seen these terrible fires. I've never really totally looked to see what percentage of the earth is burning. But when this happens here, it'll be a third of the whole earth that's going to burn by fire. Then when the second cherub goes, right, and a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. It's really interesting that trying to think where it was, if it was Hawaii or if it was somewhere else. Because there's been a lot of volcanoes that have been erupting recently. But one volcano they were showing on the news, and I think it was on an island, and they showed that the volcano actually made the mountain collapse into the sea. And I thought of the scripture and was like, wow, I'm watching with my eyes and watching exactly. Because people might think, what do you mean? What does that happen? But it could be that. Could be from a volcano. And a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures having souls died in the sea. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. We've been seeing the last couple of years, right? You're seeing all of these birds dying in the sea. People don't know if it's from the satellites and the 5G or what's causing it. But over here, we're seeing the same thing, that not only some, but a third of all of them are going to die, which means what also? It means there's going to be less fish, there's going to be less food. And then the third cherub trumpeted, and a great burning star like a lamp fell out of heaven. And it fell onto the third parts of the rivers and onto the springs of water. And the name of the star is said to be Wormwood. It's really interesting because where the great nuclear accident happened years ago in Russia, in Chernobyl, rather. And Chernobyl means wormwood. That's what it means. So a third part of the waters became changed from wormwood, and many men died from the bitter waters because they were bitter. So is this some kind of nuclear disaster? We know in Japan, remember that one happened about 10 years ago? And you don't hear much of it today, but that nuclear power plant is still... I mean, it's like a ticking time bomb, and that's right near the water. And actually, after that happened, there were fish that were showing up in California on the shore that were coming from there, that were dying from there. And even the radiation that was in the water was from there. So, like I said, when we look at these things, we're seeing these things already happening, not to this scale. But you don't have to have imagination too far to think this will just be much, much bigger. And a fourth cherub trumpeted, and a third part of the sun, a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars was struck, that a third part of them might be darkened, and the third part of the day might not appear in the same way the night. Wow. So when it says no man knows the day or the hour of Yom Teruah, right? Because we're going to read in Revelation 10, there'll be a point where there's time no more. What does that mean? Because how do you tell time? You don't tell time on a Roman clock. You tell time by the sun, the moon, the stars, right? They're telling us. The day and the night, the dividing between the month and dividing between the year. The sun, the moon, the stars are for days and for months and for years. From Genesis 1:14. So here, however this happens, that a third of them is somehow knocked out, or, you know, what is that going to do to alter time? We don't know. And I saw and heard an eagle which flew in the midst of heaven, and it had a tail as red as blood, while it said with a loud voice, woe, woe to them who dwell on the earth, because the remaining sounds of the trumpets of the three angels or cherubs who are about to sound. So let's go now to Revelation 9. We'll continue here with the other trumpets. And the fifth cherub trumpeted, and I saw a star out of the heaven falling to the earth, and the key to the pit of the abyss was given to it. And it's really interesting because recently there have been a lot of whatever you'd call it, extraterrestrial things going on, where you're seeing things fall out of the heavens. Some could be meteors, some could be a shooting star. Some of them, they don't know what they are. But this is what's going to happen. You're going to see this, looks like a shooting star, a star falling out of heaven, but he has the key to the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and smoke went up into the abyss like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun was darkened and the air by the smoke of the abyss. So again, is this some kind of volcano? A mega volcano like you see in Yellowstone Park in USA that says a third of the country would be covered. And eventually, I've seen where they show like graphs what will happen within a month or two. Basically, almost the whole world will be covered by smoke if that happened, just like it says here. So could that be what they're talking about? Very possibly. And out of the smoke, locusts came forth to the earth, and authority was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have authority. And it was said to them that they should not harm the grass of the earth, nor every green thing, nor every tree, except only the men who do not have the seal of Yahweh on their forehead, right? So we're not going to have the mark of the beast. We're not going to take the nano tattoo or the vaccines filled with pig serum and aborted baby parts and all this other stuff. No, we're going to have the seal of Yahweh. And right, what is the seal of Yahweh? That you think with your mind and you do with your hand. So it's having the spirit of Yahweh in your mind, and it's bearing the fruit that's going to come from your work. And that's the key, that the ones who have the seal of Yahweh, nothing happened to them. So except only the men who do not have the seal of Yahweh on their forehead. So they're coming after all these other men, but the ones who are sealed. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented. 5 months this is going to go on. And their torment is the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death, right? And they will not find it, and they will long to die, yet death will flee for them. And you know, there's the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, you know, there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And, you know, hey, let me tell you something. I don't like giving messages all on what's happening, tribulation, but we're living it now. If you're not going to give the message now, when on earth would you ever give these messages? Because you're not hearing it in the world. In the world, people are being brainwashed every single day through social media and the rest of it. So I don't have a choice before Yahweh as a watchman of him that I have to give the messages. But they're not enjoyable to give. These kind of messages are enjoyable, as we see, because we're talking about the return of Yeshua. But this is the world we're living in now, right? And men are going to be seeking death, and they're not going to find it. But not the people of Yahweh. The people of Yahweh will be working and doing exploits. And they'll be getting joy in their heart every day we get closer toward his kingdom. So, as believers, you better get your priorities straight. And you better do it right away. Because your time has run out. You know, of just going like this and saying, I don't have to think about it because we're not there yet. Because if you would have thought about it maybe years ago, you wouldn't be where you are today spiritually. And in those days, men will seek death and they will not find it. And they will long to die, yet death will flee from them. And the likeness of the locusts were like horses having prepared for war. And they had crowns on their head like gold, and their faces were like faces of men. It's pretty interesting that the word corona means crown. So does this have anything to do with that? I don't think so, but you never know if it has something to do with it. Their hair was like the hair of woman. Their teeth were like those of lion. They had breastplates like lion iron breastplates. And these are definitely demons. There's no doubt about it. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running to war. You know, when you read this, it also could be military equipment in the world today, because this is definitely, as we're going to see, going to a world war. And when John is seeing this, you know, like a lot of times when you look at some of this equipment they have today, it actually looks like, you know, a scorpion or a locust or whatever. Some of them even put the faces of it on their equipment. But we're not sure. But it's definitely demonic, whatever it is. And it could also be military equipment. And they have tails like scorpions, and their stings are in their tail, and their authority is to harm men 5 months. So again, is it the tails where they're shooting out of? We don't know. And they have a king over them, the messenger of the abyss. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, and in Aramaic, his name is Breaker, right? This is the right-hand man of Satan. This is the person who's coming on Satan's behalf to do all this bad stuff. The first woe is past, and behold, after these things, two more woes. And the sixth cherub trumpeted, and I heard one voice out of the four horns of the golden altar before Elohim, saying to the sixth cherub who had the trumpet, release the four cherubs, those having been bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four cherubs were released, those having been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year that they should kill the third of mankind. So a great world war is coming, and these cherubs are actually there waiting for this until they release the spirit out that is going to allow the circumstances for this to happen. And how many men, how many armies is it going to be? And the number of the armies of the cavalry was 200 million. That is some fight going on. And I heard their number. And a third of mankind is going to die during this time. And I saw in the vision the horses and those sitting on them having fire-colored breastplates, even like dusty red and brimstone, right? Could this be also nuclear war? Very well could be. And the head of the horses is heads of lion. Out of their mouth came fire and smoke and brimstone. Very well could be nuclear. By these three were killed the third part of men, by fire, by the smoke, and by brimstone coming out of their mouth. And you're talking about close to 3 billion people. Close to 3 billion people. 2.5 to 2/3 billion people. For their authority is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails are like snakes having heads, and they do them harm. And the rest of men, those not killed by the plagues, did not repent of their works in their hands, that they will not worship demons and golden idols and silver and copper and stone and wooden idols, which neither are able to see nor to hear. And they did not repent of their murders, nor their witchcraft, nor their fornications, nor their thefts. And you say to yourself, I know I used to read this and say, wow, after all this, how on earth can't they repent? And you know something? We're living it. We're living it. We see why they can't repent, because they have no faith. They don't believe it. Even with all this going on, even with the system now coming out with the mark of the beast, and sometimes in the news, if a pastor does come out and talk about the mark of the beast, you know, you'll hear on the fake news, you know, that this nutty, wacky, you know, pastor or whatever, in Revelation, this demonic, this devil mark, like as if, and we're living it. What does it say? That no one will be able to buy or sell a work if you don't have the mark, and now they have that system. You can't buy or sell a work unless you have the vaccine, which will come into the mark later. So we're living it, and people still don't see it, and they deny it because they're being brainwashed every day because they love the system of Satan. They love the system of Babylon more than the system of Yahweh, but it's time to leave that system. Because if you don't, you're either going to have to take the mark. That's the only way you could stay in that system, is to take Satan's mark. And then the trouble comes. But wow, it shouldn't surprise us that they're not repentant, because we see it. It is a world that is completely void of Yahweh. It's that simple. It is completely void of Yahweh. And people don't care. Even people that wouldn't want to take it will take it in the end, because they don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to starve to death. And they just simply have no faith. But for us, when this stuff was prophesied thousands of years ago to happen today, and we even can predict it because it's written in the Bible, and now we're seeing it with our eyes, it should strengthen our faith. It shouldn't weaken our faith. It should strengthen our faith. And really strengthen our faith to come out of Satan's system. Revelation 10, verse 5. And the cherubim I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there shall be no longer reckoning of time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh cherub, whenever he is about to trumpet, was even ended the mystery of Elohim, as he has proclaimed to his servants the prophets, right? So there'll be no more time. Is it because of the sun, the moon, the stars, a third of them being out? Maybe. Is it because of the 5 months of darkness that you can't see? Maybe. But whatever it is, we're not going to know. And that's why we won't know the exact day and the hour, because we're not going to know time anymore. Time as we know it, as we're calculating it, will not be there, right? But the seventh trumpet ends the mystery of Elohim. And it's not a mystery to us, because Paul reveals that mystery. You know, Messiah in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. The mystery is the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's what we're coming to reveal. It's not a mystery anymore, because Yeshua came to reveal that mystery. And to those who follow him or disciples of him, we know it. But to the world, it is a mystery. They don't know it until Yeshua returns. Then the mystery will be over, because he will be here and his kingdom will be ready to set up. Let's go to Revelation 19. Let's see this. Because like I said, this is a joyful day. And the feast of Yom Teruah, where it talks about the feast of clamoring, it talks about, right? The feast of clamoring, of noise. And what is that noise? That noise is screaming and wailing and weeping to those who don't want Yeshua's kingdom to come, that are going to be suffering and are going to be taking the consequences of their decision when he comes. But it's also excitement and joy and praise to those people that are glorifying him as he's coming in the clouds. So it's just a matter of which side you stand on. We have free will, and you have to use that free will to decide where you'll be for eternity. Revelation 19 and verse 11. I saw heaven being opened, and behold, a white horse, and him sitting on it, having been called faithful and true. And he judges and makes war in righteousness. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns with many titles written on it. And one of the titles that had been written, no man knew but him himself, but we'll know it in that day. And having been clothed with a garment which had been dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies in heaven followed him on white horses, being dressed in fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations, right? And he will shepherd them with an iron rod. And he treads the winepress of the wine of the anger of the wrath of Yahweh Almighty. He's bringing the bowls with him, the cherubs with the bowls that are coming after that, after the trumpets, for Yahweh's wrath to come on the world because they will not repent and they will not change. And actually, they do the opposite. They curse Yahweh. And he has on his garment and on his thigh a name having been written, King of Kings and Master of Masters. Do you ever think, why is it written King of Kings? Because in Revelation 20, it says, we will be kings and priests with him. So he will be King of Kings. We are the kings that he's going to be king over. And we're going to reign with him. How wonderful this is. And like I said, why is this day so excited today? Because the countdown has begun. Now that the sixth year has started, and the Shemitah is just a year away, every day that comes is one day close to that Shemitah, the countdown has begun. Revelation 20 and verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. It says, and when the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the land will wail, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and much glory, right? So the sons of men, the world are mourning, they're wailing when he comes. The people of Yahweh are glorifying him. They're praising him. And he will send his cherubs with a great sound of a large trumpet, the last trump. And they will gather his chosen ones from the four winds, from the one end of the sky to the other, right? So wherever you are at that time, if you're alive, you'll be gathered up. And our brethren that have either been martyred or have been sleeping in the earth the last 2,000 years, they're all going to be resurrected, and we will meet him in the air. But learn the parable of the fig tree, right? We know Israel's the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, know that it's near at the door, right? And Israel's already been more than 70 years a nation, right? So it's not the beginning of the end time. This is the end of this now. So you also, when you see all these things, know it is near at the doors, right? So we're seeing everything. It's right near. Truly, I say to you, in no way will this generation pass until all these things have occurred. And we're getting toward the end of this generation. So Yahweh's putting that in there that we know we don't, as this terrible time that's coming very shortly, that we don't have to worry it's going to go on for 10 or 20 years. It's only going to be about a little over 3 years, and then Yeshua will return once it begins. Truly I say to you, in no way will this generation pass until all these things occur. The heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass never. But as to that day and that hour, no one knows, neither the cherubs of heaven except my Father only. But in the days of Noah, so also will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days before the flood, eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And I used to think about that. How could all this stuff be going on and they're still eating and drinking and marrying? And here we are. And lockdowns and you know, world pandemic, death, all these things going on. People still, I had a couple of family members last year that got married, you know, and it's still going on. Because for them, they just want life to go back to normal, right? And life before COVID was anything but normal. And COVID is actually probably the best thing that could have ever happened to this world, to wake them up to see, don't put your trust in Satan's system. Because if you do, he's going to come and he's going to smite you. He is not looking to help humanity. He's looking to destroy it. So, but to the world, life is going to go on. And they did not know until the flood came and took all away. So also will be at the coming of the Son of Man, right? They're not going to see it. Even though it's before them, even though it's written, even though it's coming out, they're blinded. And that's why I say, thank Yahweh if you have eyes to see. Because the world is blinded to it. Because they can't think about the kingdom of Yahweh. They don't know about it. So their whole focus is on what they're losing in Satan's system. At that time, two will be out in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two grinding at the mill. One is taken, one is left. Be alert then, for you do not know in what hour your master comes. But know this, if the housemaster had known in what watch the thief comes, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be dug through. Because of this, you also be ready. For in that hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. And remember, Yeshua comes to the bride in the wilderness first, before he comes where everyone sees him in the air. So we have no idea when that's going to be. We have no idea, but it's probably not too far away. We must be ready because time is going to be altered too. And like we said from Revelation 8, we don't know if an EMP weapon can affect all these things, right? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 47. The first man was out of the earth, earthly. The second man was the master Yahweh out of heaven. Praise Yahweh. As is the earthly man, such also are the earthly ones. And such as is the heavenly man, such also are the heavenly ones. And as we bore the image of the earthly man, we shall also bear the likeness of the heavenly one. And I say this to you, brothers, that flesh and blood is not able to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Stop trying to protect your flesh and live to the Spirit. We have to die to the flesh. We're going to get a glorified body when he returns. We're not going to take these bodies into the kingdom. Behold, I speak a mystery to you. Here's the mystery, right? At the seventh trumpet, when the mystery of Yahweh is revealed, here's the mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the last trumpet, for a trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, right? Death has no hold of you anymore. But when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality, then will take place the word that has been written, death is swallowed up in victory, right? Oh, death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? It is no more. It is no more. The last enemy being death. Praise Yahweh for that. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. For we say this to you in the word of Yahweh, that we the living who remain to the coming of our master will not at all go before those who have fallen asleep, those who are dying. That's what the Bible says. Death is like sleeping. Because the master himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout of an archangel's voice, right? The seventh trumpet. And with the trumpet of Yahweh. And the dead in Messiah will rise again first. Then we who remain alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our master in the air. And so we will always be with our master forever. We just got to get through this small, horrible time right now and endure till the end. And it will go quick. Just like this last 7 years of the Shemitah has gone quick. It'll go quick. And one day, very soon, will not only be that last Shemitah, but then the Jubilee, where Yeshua will be here on this earth. And look what he says. So then, comfort each other with these words. This should be, like I said, not a terrible time, not a fearful time, but a joyful time. Last scripture I want to go into, just one verse, Luke 21 and verse 28. Luke 21 and verse 28, that's part of the Olivet Prophecy from Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, right? And he says, but when these things begin to happen, and they've already begun to happen, like I said, the countdown has begun. Have courage and lift up your heads because your salvation draws near. So like I said, if we had to have any doubt whatsoever before, whether it really was the Revelation 12 sign, whether the four blood moons really was a fulfillment of Joel, whether Yahweh taking his taking us to the wilderness is really the fulfillment of Revelation 12. Now that we see that the system is being set up, that unless you take the implant, you will not be able to work, you will not be able to buy and sell. And the vaccine is just there to kill people, basically. It doesn't work. It's not a vaccine even. It's a gene therapy that is very dangerous, untested. So it's not the mark of the beast, but I couldn't take it anyway because it's unclean. But I wouldn't take it either way because it is very unhealthy. But it is setting up for what's coming. And the system now is here worldwide. It's not here in one place. Worldwide, that system is here. So when you see these things begin to happen, have courage and look up because your salvation, Yeshua, draws near. As we see the book of Revelation unfold, we should not be worried, but we should be joyful that the countdown has begun. We are in year 6 now. A year of great blessing, right? A triple blessing. You don't see a lot of triple blessings in Scripture. Sometimes with Ephraim, you see double blessings, but now, well, pray to Yahweh and take that blessing, you know? Have him, ask him for the blessing. We're in year six, a great blessing, both physically and spiritually. And the Shemitah is in 1 year, like I said, a year of building up, a year of tearing down. Many financial blessings or ruin, maybe the end of Babylon, who knows. Many things to happen in the next 2 to 2.5 years, because it usually starts in the second part of the sixth year, and then the seventh year, and even the beginning of the eighth year is in world events, you could see this happening. So the next 2.5 years, we got to be ready. We got to get every spot and wrinkle out, and we have to keep looking up as our salvation draws near. And even though Yahweh is doing these things in the open, the world is blinded by it. But we have eyes to see. We have to be thankful that he's given us eyes to see. Things we've been reading about for years are now happening. And it gives much joy on Yom Teruah, as we know the return of Yeshua is near. Chag Sameach, Yahweh bless, Shabbat Shalom.